GeorgiaOnlineAthens.com and the Athens Banner Herald. This is the Georgia Bulldogs podcast. Bulldogs Extra. Now, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
All right, welcome into the Bulldogs Extra podcast from the Athens Banner Herald. I'm Ryan Dennis, alongside Mark Weiser here in our downtown Athens studio. It's game week. We thought last week would be game week. They did a little reshuffling a couple weeks ago, and now Georgia and Kentucky have, I guess, been pushed back to Halloween night. What was supposed to be a bye week.
It's not night. It's a noon game.
Thank you. Supposed to be this past week. Georgia's supposed to have a bye week leading up to Florida in a couple weeks in Jacksonville, but schedules had to be shuffled around due to some COVID scenarios. So, Mark, I guess you're fueling up. In the past, I know me and you have flown into Louisville to go to this game, but you're not getting on a plane for this, I'd imagine.
I'll be making a lovely drive, I guess, through Tennessee and to get to Lexington. I guess I'll just get my tunes ready to go.
Are you going around Atlanta 285 way, or are you going to go like up straight through like Clayton and into Tennessee that way? Go the scenic route?
You know what? It's Tuesday. I haven't really like navigated it. I can't tell you exactly the way I'm going, but hopefully I'll be, up in the press box when kickoff at 12:01 p.m. or whatever time it is.
Yeah, and I guess it's we got Tom Hart, I think, on the broadcast. Cole Kubelik, our old pal that's been on the show here before. Coming up later, we'll talk a little bit to John Hill from the Louisville Courier
Journal.
There you go. He covers the Kentucky Wildcats. Football and basketball for the Louisville paper, and we'll get his insights into everything, including, I know, a little QB controversy maybe up there. Might delve into that a little bit. Kentucky coming off a loss last week against Missouri, so we'll crunch all that down here in a little bit. But first, we got some Georgia football to talk about, obviously. No game last week, as we said a couple times, but I know there was concern maybe a little bit that – they might look into JT Daniels coming in at quarterback, possibly with the bye week, at least give him a stronger look. But it seemed like Kirby indicated yesterday that Stetson was the man right now.
Yeah, Kirby has not said anything in the, three or four media availabilities from the open date into today to indicate that anybody besides Stetson is still the guy. Says we got to play better around him. He's got to make better decisions. And the offense, needs to play more. Well, not just the offense. In general, the team needs to play more of our brand of football, he said. Doesn't want to get into a boat race, quote unquote, he said, with a team like Alabama. Georgia doesn't have the horses on the outside in the passing game, the athletes, the playmakers, it seems, even without now Jalen Waddle at Alabama, to win a game that's going to be in the 40s. They'd prefer it, 30-28, something like that. And look, they were winning in the third quarter until Stetson threw his second and third interception. So they have 6 regular season games now to go to get ready for another shot at Bama.
Well, look, I mean, I think everything Stetson's done, I don't see why you would take him out in a position like this. I mean, Tennessee played really well, especially in the second half there. You think about how he came in and saved the day against Kentucky. Arkansas had a really good game there against Auburn, and he's kind of lifted the team this year. And to ask a guy who, really, as of 2 months ago, was considered a 4-string quarterback, and you don't expect him to go into an Alabama and beat a team that's so highly regarded as they were. And again, Georgia, I mean, they were in that game. They should have come out with a win. I guess it falls on Stetson in the end on some of those interceptions. But yeah, I kind of agree with Kirby. They need to play around him because I think we've seen in a couple other games that especially when they get the running game going and everything else, and of course with that defense, he can be the guy that can take them to the wherever they want to be, which is likely if all goes well, another trip to Atlanta to probably rematch with Alabama in a few weeks or a few months, I guess.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens if, you know, Stetson throws two first half interceptions against Kentucky and True. Georgia is, say, down a field goal or score. You know, do they call on JT Daniels? Is JT Daniels even the one they call on? Maybe it's Dorm Mathis again. You know, how long is the leash for Stetson? Probably less than it was, obviously, entering the Bama game. You know, and Kirby says that Daniels is showing better mobility, but, you know, coming off his knee surgery, his cleanup in January on that knee, is he as mobile as they want and need? You know, we'll see. You know, it'll be very interesting to see how they proceed, but it does seem like Stetson is certainly still the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe they do need to rely on that running game that was getting chunk yardage against Alabama the other day, which I think was a formula that other teams have used against Alabama so far this year. So maybe that's something they look at. Maybe they get James Cook more involved. You know, he had that big play down the sideline against Alabama. And then, I don't know, he just kind of disappeared. Though he would seem to be more of a slot type of guy. You know, he's not going to be the Zamir White or even the Kendall Milton, Kenny McIntosh that can run. Even though they do give it to him between the tackles from time to time, he might be more serviceable in that other position. What say you about that?
Yeah, I think Cook might have been the least productive runner against Alabama, but he had the biggest play, obviously, when they put him out wide, and he got matched up with a linebacker. Exactly. and took it to the house on the pass from Bennett. I think Kendall Milton is the guy that's going to start getting more of the carries. You know, maybe it'd be a White-Milton thing, and it'll be curious to see what happens with McIntosh as he's coming back from an injury that, you know, not 100% yet. So could just, you know, maybe that instead of four guys in the backfield, we'll see what happens with McIntosh. It might be down to three.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And last week you took stock, I guess, of the Georgia football team, and we kind of pushed it back a little ways because we knew we had the kind of an earlier podcast coming this week. We're on a Tuesday here downtown, but hopefully you're listening to us before Saturday's game at Kentucky, which is high noon. So yeah, like we had mentioned, start listening, get prepared for that, Anyway, you know, you had done some rankings, I guess, ranking wins so far and all. And, yeah, it is kind of funny that Arkansas game, who everybody has dogged for years, and rightfully so, because, what, they went 2.5 years without an SEC win, I think it was, and Georgia goes in there and looks kind of sloppy in the first half. They made the Stetson change and everything. And now you look back on it, and that was their best win because of what Arkansas has done since that first game of the year.
Yeah, and Auburn is 3-2 now with two of those wins kind of under the microscope. SEC admits another officiating error.
And then finds Kiffin for it.
In the win over Ole Miss, and Lane Kiffin says he's going to pay his $25,000 fine in pennies, I think it is.
Did you see his goof there?
Yeah, he didn't know how many pennies is in $25,000. Yeah.
That was good.
Right, so Georgia's, still you have Arkansas is clearly the best of those three in terms of the you know, what appears to be the best. And we'll do our picks later in the show, and Arkansas game this week is an interesting one in terms of the point spread and how to make the pick there. But Florida after this week, you would assume is going to be the toughest game left on the schedule. But the Gators don't have a full complement coming off their COVID shutdown of the program.
Did I say they'd have only 53? Which
no,
is
I think
the
they, I think all they said was that we'll have the 53. Okay. They didn't say they're only going to have 53.
See, I thought I'd heard that they would only have that. They would barely reach that minimum number, which I think isn't that the NFL's number for the most they have on a roster. But like you mentioned, yeah, Florida really struggling with the coronavirus right now, and of course. You mentioned number two on your ranking of the toughest opponents left is Kentucky this week. Now, they're coming off the loss at Missouri, but I think...
Yeah, I wrote that before they did nothing offensively at Missouri.
Right, and I think Missouri might be better than we thought going into the season. You know, they handled LSU in a game that was, I guess you'd say, awkward. You know, they had to move out of Baton Rouge for the hurricane that had come in and moved it up to Missouri, and Missouri pretty much had their way with LSU that game. But LSU looked like a different team back at home last week against South Carolina, who's the third team you put on the list, which, again, like you mentioned, it's going back a week. It was before last weekend's games. But, you know, the Florida game, I think, will still loom as the game that will decide the SEC East, even though they have, I guess, they have the one loss at Texas A&M. Georgia has the one loss at Alabama, which it seems like it comes down to this every year. Each team has a loss, and whoever wins this essentially has a two-game lead in the SEC East.
Well, Florida's got to play Missouri, and we'll see how that thing turns out in terms of whether Florida comes in with one loss or two. You know, Gators probably obviously have the upper hand there. It will be limited attendance of about 18,000-ish for that game. No tailgating in Jacksonville. We'll talk about this next week, I'm sure, but do you think folks are going to tailgate anyway?
Well, I think it was, what do they call it? The official stadium parking areas you can't tailgate. But how many places do we pass where, you know, driving into the stadium where people are tailgating all up and down the road, which I'm guess are private lots that are being sold for $30 a pop. So, yeah, I would imagine there's still going to be a little bit of tailgating going on.
I mean, those official lots, though, are pretty jam-packed. So,
well, they are, but...
I don't notice as much about... I guess there are areas where people just pull into, and I'm sure that they'll do that this time around.
Yeah, you know, there's a place... I'll tell a little story here. My girlfriend lives kind of downtown, but back in the way, and there's a tiny church off of Peter Street, you know, that's probably a good 35, 40-minute walk to the stadium. Looks like they have about 10 parking spots, and they sell that thing for about $30 each and fill it up, and they have a sign, I think, that says, "We don't judge your drinking." And
what?
So something like we, you know, it's a church parking lot. They say, "We will not judge your drinking," or something like that. But getting to some areas, you have three areas that the Bulldogs most improved. Kickoff return, Kenny McIntosh obviously has been good at that. They threw Kiaris Jackson back there a few times, and they're definitely much improved in that area. And you know, one area maybe that you have the Bulldogs slid the most is pass defense. Now, judging that on the Alabama game alone, I would say yes, definitely. But do you see other areas that it's kind of gone down in other games this year?
Well, I mean, they gave up some deep shots to Tennessee, from Garantano to Josh Palmer. Arkansas, I think LeCount got beat on a play early, and the Razorbacks went up early. So, yeah, they've given up some explosives, and you know, I'm not sure we're going to learn much about that improvement against this Kentucky team that really can't throw the ball last in the SEC.
Yeah, and like we said, we'll talk more Kentucky here in just a minute. They're going through a little bit of a quarterback, I don't know if you'd call it change, but they're definitely going to look maybe at splitting time or either go a complete opposite direction than they have been going. So why don't we get into that right now with John Hale from the Louisville Courier-Journal, and he'll come up right after this.
All right, let's talk Georgia-Kentucky football, and for that we bring on John Hale of the Louisville Courier-Journal to talk Wildcats. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Kentucky is 2-3 heading into Saturday's game. Had a home win against Mississippi State and a impressive final score, at least, road win at Tennessee. Kind of a different story at Missouri. What's the mood around Lexington about this football team nowadays?
Yeah, I think this week it's pretty negative. Obviously, a week ago it would have been a much different answer coming off that Tennessee game. But I think there was this feeling that those first two games of the season against Auburn and Ole Miss, which they both lost, were kind of missed opportunities, that they were close. This has been a team over the last few years that has needed a couple games to kind of get up to speed and not playing mid-major kind of teams, group of five conference teams to open the season. It you just don't have that leeway this year. And it felt kind of like if those games had been later in the year, they might have won them. And so there was still reason to be optimistic. And then you beat Mississippi State, you beat Tennessee back-to-back, your defense is playing great. And it felt like people were pretty convinced that this was the team maybe they thought they could be or hoped they could be going into the season. And then they just go to Missouri and lay an absolute wet egg, just one of the worst performances in the last 4 or 5 years for them. And there are always questions about the offense and whether it's broken. And, you know, it has looked great for most of the year outside of the Ole Miss game and the second half against Tennessee. And people are unhappy about the play calling and the quarterback play and the receivers and all those things that fans get unhappy about when the team struggles. So it feels like a really pivotal week, especially because I think Kentucky fans are pretty aware of the fact that you're not going to beat Georgia almost certainly. Then you have an off week, then you have Vanderbilt, the game that you should win, but then you go to Alabama and you go to Florida. So this season could spiral out of control very quickly over the next four games. And so it feels like this week is kind of that tipping point in terms of fan unrest.
John, you mentioned the quarterbacks, and obviously Terry Wilson, I guess, was benched the other day. Joey Gatewood came in. What's your read on the way that they'll go this week at quarterback?
My gut is kind of leaning towards Gatewood at the moment for a couple of reasons. I mean, I have been pretty firmly in the camp all season that I don't see what the purpose of making a quarterback change is as long as the receivers are struggling as much as they are. I mean, it looks like a group that didn't really get any development for the second half of last season because they were playing Lynn Bowden at quarterback and never threw the ball. And that's what they had to do to win games. They just didn't have any healthy quarterbacks, and it worked for them, but it doesn't help you long-term with those young receivers that they had not getting, you know, many passes in practice and certainly not James, and that group has really struggled with drop passes and not blocking very well and wrong routes and all of those things. And to me, it just felt like Terry Wilson was kind of being undone a little bit by the players around him as much as his own struggles. And he's not perfect by any means. He wasn't perfect before. He missed, you know, most of last season with an injury, and certainly I think that that's had some effects on him coming back. But I just felt like they had bigger questions than quarterback. But, you know, with the way they played last week, finally pulling the plug and putting Gatewood in for a couple series in the first half, they didn't go any better, by the way, than Terry Wilson's had. And then they brought Terry Wilson back to the game, and he actually led them on their only touchdown drive. So if all things were equal, I think they should start Terry Wilson this week. But the X factor here is, as we found out yesterday afternoon at Mark Stoops' press conference, that Wilson has some sort of minor injury. They haven't told us what it is or what the situation is, but it kept him out of practice yesterday afternoon, and it sounded like that might be the end of it. But then on his radio show last night, Mark Stoops kind of suggested that it might be a couple more days before he's out there. And so if you've opened the competition and they listed as an or on the depth chart this week, and Terry's missed a couple days of the, you know, 4 days of practice, that seems like a pretty easy decision that you just go with the other guy this week and see how that works out for you.
Kentucky has been very opportunistic with interceptions, creating points defensively as well. I think they had 6 interceptions against Mississippi State, a pair of pick sixes, if I'm correct, against Tennessee to start that game. What's going on there in terms of, you know, the Kentucky defensively, scheme-wise, or just these playmakers? And, you know, is that their way to really stay in this week's game?
Yeah, I think that's their best hope, maybe their only hope. And it's been kind of strange because it's been such a feast or famine defense in terms of against Mississippi State and Tennessee. They had 9 interceptions, 10 total forced turnovers across those two games. But the other 3 games, they haven't had a turnover at all. And I think through 2 games of the season, they were one of 2 teams in the country. It's like 75 teams had played at that point that had not forced a turnover in multiple games. And so there were all these questions about, why aren't they forcing turnovers? And, you know, the defense was pretty good last year, but that was something that didn't do very well. And that had been such a focus going into the season. And then all of a sudden against Mississippi State, and I think a large portion of that is because they knew that Mississippi State was going to throw it, you know, basically every play that they could. They got 6, which is something you don't expect. And then they come out the next week and get 3 more. 2 of them returned for touchdowns, as you mentioned. They actually have 3 pick sixes on the season, a 4th that was returned like 80 yards and tackled just short of the end zone. So that's their best. I mean, for large stretches of the last 3 games, that's been their best chance to score points. And, you know, it was kind of tongue in cheek, but there were definitely moments against Missouri that the offense was so bad that you thought maybe their best opportunity was just to punt it deep because they have arguably the best punter in the country, the, you know, reigning Ray Guy Award winner, and then hope your defense got some sort of turnover. And it just didn't happen last week. They couldn't get off the field. Missouri actually had a 21-play drive that they didn't even get points out of. It kind of tells you what kind of afternoon it was for Kentucky. And so when the defense is on, and it has been for stretches this season, it can be really good, and they have the talent to make those kind of plays. And against Stetson Bennett and the questions there, maybe that's an area where they can keep this close this weekend. It's certainly seems like a very difficult task for this offense to score very much against Georgia's defense as good as it is. So I think if they have any chance, you're going to have to get points out of the defense somehow.
Now, John, last week's schedule obviously was thrown for a loop, but it gave Georgia a bye, whereas I guess Kentucky had to turn around and focus on Missouri. Was that you think that had any effect on them, just the quick change and how they played at Missouri last week?
I don't think it did them any favors. I mean, I think certainly if you were to choose, Kentucky would have preferred the way it originally was, and you get Georgia coming off a disappointment against Alabama. And we know that over the years, teams that play Alabama don't do historically very well the next week just because of the physical toll, if nothing else. And you're running off the high of beating Tennessee. You get excited for that game, and nobody has an extra week to prepare for you. And in terms of now, they had two straight weeks where, I mean, obviously Missouri didn't know that they were going to play Kentucky for most of their off week from the cancellation, but they did find out on Friday, so they had three extra days of preparation versus what Kentucky did. I don't think that helped any, but I think the bigger issue was probably in terms of the trap game aspect of this. I mean, I don't think they were going to beat Georgia regardless of when they played them. But there definitely was a bit of letdown after the Tennessee win, and maybe even looking ahead to Georgia in terms of that Missouri game. They certainly didn't have the energy that they normally do, and Mark Stoops admitted yesterday that Missouri wanted it more than us, which is not something you ever want to hear your coach say, and that certainly was a factor. But the other part of this is their offensive line coach, John Schlarman, has been battling stage 4 cancer for the last 2 years. He's been at basically every practicing game through all that until Saturday. It finally appears that the side effects of his treatments have gotten to the point that he has to take a step back. And so they found out late in the week he wasn't going to make it to the game, and he didn't go to the game, and he's not been back to practice. And I have to imagine, just from a human being kind of standpoint, that had an effect on some guys, especially the offensive line. But to their credit, they're not using that as an excuse. But I imagine it was a combination of all those factors together.
It's going to be a noon kick on Saturday, and I think the number was it. Is it 12,000, 10,000, something like that, for how many they're packing in there into Kroger Field? What do you expect? What's kind of the atmosphere for these home games in Lexington now?
Yeah, it's felt like the first, two home games they've had, very much like a spring game kind of atmosphere. That's what the crowd looks like in terms of just, sheer numbers. And obviously they don't have a lot to do with that. It's just the situation everybody's in. But to my knowledge, I don't think they've sold out all 12,000 of their tickets to either of the first two games. And they were tweeting the link to the tickets yesterday, so I think that there are still tickets available this weekend. So it's certainly not going to be anything close to what it was 2 years ago when Georgia came here for that winner-take-all game and for the SEC East, and Georgia won that pretty easily. But it was a very hyped environment leading up to the game, and everyone was so excited around town, and they sold it out. It was packed, and it's just not going to be that. And given the way they played last week, given all the questions, and then clearly there's just, whether it's not being comfortable in large crowds because of the virus, understandably, or not wanting to wear your mask for 4 hours in the stands or whatever it is, people have just not been super willing to come to these games so far. So I can't imagine the crowd's going to be a factor at all, which is bad for Kentucky because you need every bit of help you can get in a game like this.
That was going to be my question. That game 2 years ago you brought up, and I know me and Mark were there, and you could just feel the excitement around town and all. And it seemed like Mark Stoops has built up something that fans are excited about. Obviously Kentucky's a lot about basketball, but do you still think that, they believe in Mark Stoops and that he's, got what it takes to keep them competitive year in and year out?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's certainly a vocal minority of fans on Twitter who I don't think we engage as speaking for everybody else, who are not realistic and think that any loss is a bad loss and Kentucky should be contending for national championships, which just nothing about their history suggests that that's possible at the moment. I think the vast majority of fans understand where this program is historically and how impressive it is, what Mark Stoops has done over the last 4 years especially. I mean, that team 2 years ago won 10 games, had a winning record in SEC play for the first time since 1977. That tells you a lot about what Kentucky football has looked like over the last few decades. And so I think that they're perfectly happy with Mark Stoops and realize that the work he's done I don't think that there are a lot of fans currently happy with the offense and Eddie Grant in particular, which is interesting this week because, what, it was 2 years ago that there was all this debate as to whether Georgia was trying to take Eddie Grant or not. And I know that there are a lot of Kentucky fans this week, at least, who would say, you can have him, which is, you know, week to week for all offensive coordinators in the world, I'm sure, but they're just not happy with. Most of them want to throw the ball more, and that's got a lot to do with Kentucky's kind of historic roots in the air raid with Hal Mumme and bringing that to prominence. But even, I think, the more pragmatic fans understand what this team's strength is in terms of running the ball and the offensive line, and aren't very happy with some of the play calling and going away from that at times, which I think was certainly an issue last week against Missouri. So it's kind of both sides coming at Eddie Grant right now, and I'm not sure he's making anybody happy. So that's really where the unrest lies, if there is any.
All right, John, tell us how you think Kentucky can keep this close and maybe how you think it's going to unfold.
Yeah, I mean, like we mentioned earlier, if it's going to be close, you know, it would certainly help if it rained like it did last year. And I haven't looked at the forecast this far out to see what that's going to look like, but that could always help things. I do think that the defense scoring a couple touchdowns like they did against Tennessee would be key, at least getting some sort of points out of the defense, or, you know, really short fields off turnovers. That's going to be absolutely necessary, I think. You hope, if you're Kentucky, that your running backs can and your offensive line can go out and establish themselves enough to move the ball in that way. And maybe if Joey Gatewood plays this week, he turns out to, you know, be the top 50 kind of talent that he was rated as a recruit, and he's a better passer than, you know, we have any evidence to suggest at the moment. And it just goes really, really well, and Georgia turns it over a few times, and you make it interesting. I don't think that's going to happen, because I think that's way too many ifs. My gut is that Georgia probably wins this one pretty comfortably, because even though I think Kentucky's defense is legitimately good, I just don't see a way that this offense right now can score it even in the 20s against Georgia's defense. And so that's just too much to ask for your own defense. And so I think it's probably a 28-7 kind of game or something like that.
All right. You can follow John on Twitter at John, J-O-N-H-A-L-E underscore C-J for Courier Journal, and find his stories at CourierJournal.com with a hyphen in between, I think it is, right? Yeah.
That'll do it.
John, thanks. Appreciate it, and take care.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, back into the Bulldogs Extra podcast from the Athens Banner Herald. Interesting stuff there from John Hill of Louisville, Courier Journal, and what we can expect from Kentucky this week. And, you know, I guess, you know, looking before last week's game against Missouri, they seem like a scary opponent that the Bulldogs would be facing. But I think Georgia coming off a bye week, and, you know, it's Kentucky. I don't know how else to say it, but I don't think Bulldog fans should feel too anxious about this one. But that's just my gut read.
I mean, Kirby likes to talk about how physical this Kentucky team is, and yeah. I mean,
he says that about them all.
It was he does actually. It was a slop fest last year in the rain, and then, you know, a couple of years ago, it was a pretty SEC East clinching game. I think it was, right, when they
That was
a winner take all.
That was a CBS 330 winner take all game. Yeah,
they had a little bit more they had some frontline talent. I think they had a couple in their first round.
The defensive
edge rusher.
Yeah.
So as John said, it won't be that kind of atmosphere. But Georgia, you know, just needs to kind of gear up for Florida and be crisp and looking like the team they were against Tennessee and Auburn. To get some momentum and feel that they're one of the best teams in the country again. I think they feel like that. They just want to go out and show it again.
I think it's a good thing for Georgia, too, that the schedule kind of worked out. I know they wanted a bye week before Florida, but coming off that Alabama game, I think it was a good thing that that game got switched. And like we had to ask John, you know, I think it was Kentucky had to switch real fast and plan for Missouri, which they didn't, essentially, they would have been coming off a big win against Tennessee, hosting Georgia, and you never know in that game. But, in the times of COVID, it really has shuffled things up, and I think to Georgia's advantage.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully, hopefully I won't drive into Lexington on Friday and get hit with a text message saying, "Hey, the Florida game's postponed" or something. You know,
or the Kentucky game. That'd really screw you over. But anyway, you got some picks. I think how many? We had four SEC games last week, I believe. Was it? We have a full slate this week.
I think it's six games. I think six games. I think Tennessee's off and whoever.
There you go.
There's one other odd team out. All right, let's do these. Start with LSU at Auburn. The Tigers are the fans of the SEC officiating crew, apparently, which means, I mean, they're due for kind of getting some stuff against them, right? Tigers are favored. Well, the Tigers, I can't say Tigers. LSU favored by three. By the way, our local hero did not get the call, right? He didn't play the other day?
No,
Max Johnson?
Yeah, had a story lined up to post, too, when he saved the day or something, but didn't need him to save the day because, what's the guy's name? The starter?
Miles Brennan was the starter before
the other freshman kid didn't need to have this day saved because he looked pretty sharp.
All right, I'm taking LSU giving three at Auburn.
So this seems like the setup of all time, doesn't it? I mean, LSU had struggled quite a bit, and then all of a sudden they look like world beaters. Going to Auburn now? I think Auburn. Give me Auburn.
All right, next one is Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin with his pennies going to Vanderbilt. Commodores getting 16.5. Vanderbilt's been off for a couple or 3 weeks even. Jeez. They've had their own COVID issues. You know what? I'm going to take Vanderbilt because Ole Miss has seemed to give up points to everyone. Now, Vandy hadn't scored worth a lick this year, but I think they're going to keep it within 16. So I'm taking Vandy. I'm feeling a little Commodore momentum.
I mean, how do you?
Lane is distracted by all the officiating,
and how many pennies equal $25,000? But which I believe is $2.5 million. But give me Ole Miss. I think they'll be all right going into Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt they're awful. Nothing's going right for them, you know. And then they're hit by COVID. I think Ole Miss can cover that.
All right, Mississippi State is at Alabama. Mississippi State, I saw a report before we came on the podcast that their star running back,
Najee?
Kylin Hill, Mississippi State.
Oh, Mississippi State, sorry.
Is that how you pronounce his name? It might be leaving the team for good. So, I think Mike Leach has had some issues with getting embraced by the folks in that locker room. He's had some issues like that when he was at Washington State and Texas Tech as well. Bama favored by 31.5 points, and I will take Alabama at home to cover that number. I think it could be one of those games that's like 37-3 or something.
And that's something. I mean, Mississippi State just rolls over LSU to open the season, and it has been downhill from there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a large number, though. I'll go opposite. Give me Mississippi State that hold it under 31.5, and maybe 41-14 or something like that.
All right. Hey, we didn't mention. We should mention this before we make our last. Oh, I guess we got three more picks. Game day is going to be at Augusta National for the Masters on, I think it's November
14th?
14th, yeah.
14th.
Georgia, Missouri that week in Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's an ESPN production now, the Masters, so along with CBS. But, are you going to the Masters this year?
No. Limited media, so I got my rejection letter. So I will not be there. Maybe something will change in the next week and a half, though.
You got rejected by Augusta National?
Yeah. They sent me a thing that said, due to limited capacity, which will be a bummer because that's my all-time favorite event I've ever covered.
Will you kind of, make some pimento cheese sandwiches at home?
Yeah, I think I can probably do that. Right. You know what's funny, though? Back before we didn't know that COVID would go on for 10 years like it has. The schedule originally would have been Georgia, Tennessee, I think, this weekend, if everything would have gone as normal and we'd have played out our regular schedule. So I know it seemed like people were hyping that maybe College Game Day could be at the Masters that week for Georgia, Tennessee, and all that stuff. But obviously it didn't work out that way.
All right, Arkansas and Sam Pittman going to Texas A&M. Aggies favored by 12.5, and I think some of the – it's about time Arkansas, that they slide a little bit. I'm going to take Texas A&M covering that number.
Oh, no, no, no. See, here's my thing. One, huge Sam Pittman fan. That guy, he's just, I don't know, he's like a teddy bear or something. So I like Sam Pittman. Two, this game's always close, even when Arkansas was awful. And Texas A&M has, I think they're overrated. What are they, seventh in the AP poll? Is that right? Way too high. Give me Arkansas to hold it close, maybe even pull off the upset.
All right, Missouri's going to Florida. Gators, 3 weeks between games, I think it is. 13.5 points is the Gators are favored by. I'm going to take Missouri to come on in and give them a game and come within that number.
Was it 13.5? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Yeah, I think Missouri's better than we thought. Give me, though, Florida, I mean, what was their last game was the loss to A&M, right? So, yeah. But then you got to factor in they won't have a full team. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Give me Missouri to keep that one fairly close.
All right, last one is our featured game. Georgia going to Kentucky. Bulldogs favored by 14.5 points. I think because Texas' offense is as, I guess, lethargic as it seems to be, Georgia's defense is still, you know, perhaps the best in the nation despite what happened against Alabama. I think Georgia's going to cover that number, you know, whether it's 27-10 or whatever. You know, I like Georgia winning comfortably. So give me the Bulldogs, and I think Stetson does not throw more than one interception, if any.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Stetson's been good, and you're playing Alabama when he threw the three the other day. So I think he's been fine. Like we talked with John, and then you and I talked just a little bit ago about how the sudden change in schedule might have been a good thing for Georgia, and it seemed to affect Kentucky by having to quickly switch gears and plan for Missouri last week. So I think Georgia coming off a bye week, you know, healing up from Alabama, I just think this is a big Georgia win. So, yeah, I'll take the Bulldogs.
All right, that'll be it for this edition of the Bulldogs Extra podcast.
Yeah, you're heading to Kentucky. I'm actually going to Missouri. I mean, to Missouri, West Virginia to get away for a few days.
Do you know which state you're going to?
I have no clue.
You going to Morgantown to see the Mountaineers? Are they home?
Just go drive
week?
North. Wherever I land, I land.
Are they home this weekend?
Yeah, I have no clue. Right. Yeah, a little getaway for me. So.
All right, we'll be back next week. I think something's happening next Tuesday. I'm not sure what it is, but we'll probably be...
I think 65 million people have already beaten the others to the polls for that. So
we'll be probably podcasting closer to the back side of next week, I would guess, as it will be Georgia, Florida week. And we'll talk to you all then. Have a great weekend and the rest of your week. It's the Bulldogs Extra Podcast from the Athens Banner Herald, onlineathens.com. And Ryan wants a 5-star review.
Absolutely. Find us, find Bulldogs Extra. It's that easy. Just search it up, give us a like and a review, and we appreciate it. Talk to you next week.